Good morning. Good to have you with us again. Won't you open your Bibles to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2. We're going to be picking up a portion of that today as we begin a new mini-series, Where is God? Today we're going to ask the question, is God dead? So, Malachi chapter 2, we're picking it up at verse 17, and we're reading through to the end of chapter 3. So, this is God's word. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Will you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord, and yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion the man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is the word of God. Well, let's pray as we come now to hear what God has to say to us. Lord Jesus, we do just ask and pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning or today as we listen and watch this talk to grapple with what you are saying here in this passage. Help us, Lord, to understand that you are indeed not dead, but are living. And so help us, Lord, to understand what is going on here so that we might learn, so that we might grow, so that we might become the people you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This year has been rather a tough year, I think, for many of us. We've been separated physically from one another as a church. Even some of you have been separated physically from your families and haven't seen them for ages. Perhaps it's been a tough year financially, as your work has told you that you no longer have a job or that you need to work short time. Perhaps you haven't had work at all. Maybe from a health point of view, your health has taken a dip. And especially with the virus, we're all concerned about that. And so masks have become a way of life. We know that the economy of the country has taken a huge dip. Our churches have been closed. Our health has been threatened. And this has led many people within our own community as well to question the reality of God. The question that some are asking is, where is God in all this? And if we cannot find evidence for God in all this, then the obvious answer for some is, well, God must be dead. God is no longer around, they say. Except there is much evidence to point to the fact that God is not dead, that God is still here with us. But there is evidence pointing to the fact that it's possible that we as a society have changed so that we do not recognize the presence of God any longer. This morning, I want to have a look at what both the Bible and scientists have to say about God. Then at the fact that God does not seem to change. As we do this, we'll also look at why it seems that God is dead and what we can do about that, what God is doing about that. So let's get stuck in and ask the question, is God dead? My first comment this morning is God holds the universe together. We're not going to look at that on the Malachi passage. I've got two other little passages that I want to look at. Of course, there's many others as well. But I think we need to understand this from an extra biblical point of view, because it doesn't help to prove the existence of God by reading the Bible. We do need to look at outside sources as well. And so what I did in preparation for this talk is I Googled what scientists believe, what scientists can explain, what scientists can't explain. And most scientists have come to an agreement in the modern age that there are elements within our greater universe that point to the existence of someone or something greater than we can understand. Something that holds everything together. On a macro level, on a large scale level, astronomers cannot understand why galaxies spin together. As many of you know, we live in the galaxy, in our corner of the universe, that is spinning towards the center of itself and sucking all the stars and planets in. We're on an outer limb of the galaxy, so it'll take millennia for that to happen. But according to our understanding of gravity, according to the scientists' understanding of gravity, our galaxies should not be spinning together, but spinning apart. Scientists cannot explain why this phenomenon is happening. They've labeled this unknown element, which ironically they know nothing about, and yet they say holds 90% of our universe together. They call this element dark
matter. As one scientist said, that if this dark matter turns out to be true, the implications will be profound. We will have to rewrite physics and chemistry. Friends, there's an indication that there is something that we cannot see, that we cannot understand, that is holding our universe together. On a micro level, on a microscopic level, other scientists cannot understand how the electrons on an atom keep spinning and keep attached to the nucleus. By our understanding of things, again, these protons, these electrons around the nucleus of the atom should stop spinning and should drift away from the nucleus. And yet, they are held there in perpetuity, never letting go. Scientists have agreed that there is something that we cannot see, that we cannot understand, that is energizing the protons and the electrons and keeping them in position. Scientists have labeled this unknown entity antimatter. And interestingly, they also know nothing about it. Now, friends, those are just two unknowns or unexplainable elements of our universe. When I Googled unexplained events in creation, the list was long. All sorts of different things. But what I want us to see is that there are elements that are keeping our universe, our very being, together. And actually, when we look at the Bible, it ties in perfectly with what the Bible has to say. Keep your finger in Malachi and turn with me to the book of Colossians, sort of halfway through the New Testament. You've got a whole lot of Paul's letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Look what it says here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Friends, scientists have this dark matter, they have this antimatter that they cannot understand. The Bible tells us that these elements could well be God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, holding these things together, giving the energy to the electrons and the protons in the atom, giving the forces to hold together our galaxies. Jesus holds all things together. In the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 5 and the second half of verse 45, Jesus says that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Friends, if God is dead, then the whole world is going to fall apart. The galaxies are going to spin apart. In fact, the very structure of our being, the atoms, are going to fall apart. 400 years or so before the Lord Jesus came into the world, Malachi, the last prophet of Israel, gave us a very encouraging and helpful statement to help us understand that God is not dead, but alive.
My second comment this morning is that God does not change. Have a look now, if you turn back to Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, in that passage that we read a few moments ago. Look at how that section begins. I, the Lord, do not change. Now, the situation in our world has changed drastically this year. We all began this year thinking, wow, it's going to be an amazing year. We're all longing for next year. I'm not sure why, because things aren't going to change that much between this year and next year. But we always seem to look back on life and think how much better it was in the good old days. We all do that, don't we? Oh, I remember when we were a kid, we could do this. Now we can't. I remember 30 years ago, we could do that. And this cost that. And now look how much it costs. Things always seemed better back in the past. Our world is crumbling with all this virus. The airports of the world have been shut down. It's simple to think that God is perhaps dead. But Malachi tells us otherwise. I, the Lord, do not change so that you are not destroyed. Friends, if God changed with the times, then all hope for this world would be lost. If God changed in the principles and instructions that he gave us with Moses in the desert, would become irrelevant. If God changed, then the words of God in the Bible would become redundant. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, not only does God hold the universe together, but he doesn't change. That's why Jesus came to say that I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Because God, friends, does not change. His purpose for this world is the same as when he created it. That we as human beings might be with him and glorify him. And friends, his purpose has not changed. God still wants us to seek him out, to look for forgiveness of our sin. He wants us to come into his presence. Ultimately, in a perfect world with no crying or pain or suffering. So why then, friends, does it feel like God is dead and no longer helping us? And so let's ask the question for my third comment, where is God now? And I believe Malachi the prophet gives us some very stern warnings as to why it seems that God is not here with us. Malachi, 400 years before the Lord Jesus came into this world, 2,400 years ago, gave us the answers as to where God is. Look how verse 17 starts. Malachi speaking to the people of Israel. Malachi speaking to us in 2020 in a COVID-19 world says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. You have turned from God's decrees and have not kept them. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. You have spoken arrogantly against God. Perhaps as you are watching or listening to this talk,
You are thinking to yourself, well, that's just nonsense. I haven't done these things, and yet God seems dead to me. Well, notice that each time that Malachi accuses us of saying things to God, he gives our question back at us. So verse 17, when he says, you've wearied the Lord, we answer, how have we wearied the Lord? What have we done to weary God? Look at chapter 3, verse 8, when he says that we have broken God's laws and decrees. And we ask, how have we robbed God? How have we broken his laws and decrees? Look what he says when Malachi tells us that we have spoken arrogantly to God. How have we spoken arrogantly? What have we said? What have we said against you? This is not nonsense, friends. We all do this to God. We push God aside. We'll say one thing when we're with Christian friends, when we're talking to the minister or the pastor, when we're engaging with those who know Jesus. But then when we're at home or when we're at work or when we're not in earshot of someone who knows us as a Christian, we deny Christ. We don't want anything to do with him. We have wearied God. We have robbed God. We have said things against him. And Malachi tells us how we've done this. Chapter 2, verse 17. We have wearied God by saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with it. We have wearied God by complaining that there is no justice in this world. Remember that these words were spoken 2,400 odd years ago, and yet they ring true today. We push things to the fore that are against the Word of God. And we rewrite the idea of what is right and what is wrong. Friends, we only have to look at abortion laws within our own country. Or the redefining of marriage laws, or our definition of gender, to discover how we call what is evil good. Friends, this wearies God. When we do the wicked things God has told us not to do, and call them good. In our modern society today, people say, if it feels right, then do it. God says, obey me, whether it feels right or not. And so we make evil things good. Malachi tells us that one reason why it seems that God might be dead to us today is because we have turned from God and have rewritten what we think is good. Notice the prophet's words in chapter 3 and verse 7. After he told us that we reject God, he says, return to God and he will return to you. Perhaps the trouble today, friends, is not the fact that God seems dead, but the fact that we have moved away from God. Verse 8, Malachi speaks of the fact that we have robbed God. He speaks here, and I believe he's just giving an example of tithes and offerings. That's how we rob God. He uses the example here. We rob God by only giving him the leftovers of what our salary is. When we've paid this and paid that and bought this and spoilt ourselves with that, if there's money left, we give that little bit to God. See what God says? Because we have robbed God, verse 9, we are under a curse. Friends, I don't want to minimize the effects of this virus. Many people have died, and we are extremely saddened by that. But perhaps God has brought this virus into this world, allowed this virus to come into this world, because we are under a curse, because we rob God. Perhaps the question is saying, well, I don't rob God. I give him my allotted amount of time. But we also need to take this a step further. We rob God by not giving him our lives. We know from the New Testament that the idea of tithes and offerings is bigger than just money and groceries and things like that. Romans chapter 12. Maybe you're familiar with this passage. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 speak about the fact that our lives are the offering to God. Paul commands us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord as our spiritual act of worship. Friends, God seems dead to us and our world, because although he has offered his son as a sacrifice for our sin, we choose not to accept it. We choose to live our lives as we please, with little to no regard for God himself. And in that sense, we rob God of the good he has done. God wants to save us. God wants to rescue us from our wickedness. And what do? We say, God, I don't want that. We rob God of it, and we try to do things on our own. We rewrite the laws. They're no longer relevant. Let's make this good, because God is old-fashioned. Friends, no wonder it seems that God is dead to us. But the prophet doesn't just stop there. He also says it's how we treat God. We are arrogant and think that God does not know best for us. Verse 14, you say, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? Verse 15, but now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Friends, our world has got to the point where if you've got lots of money, if you've got wealth, then you are somebody important. Those who say, I can do this in my own strength, are the ones we praise and honor. All your tabloid magazines, your tabloid newspapers, all speak to these things. People who say it's futile to serve God, people who claim there is no God, people who do their own thing, are the ones that we think are important, and we strive to be like them. And they seem to get away with it, friends. We're arrogant. We think, I can do this on my own. We think, if I've achieved this in my work, then I don't need God. Friends, no wonder God seems dead to us. We rob God of the lives he's claimed as his own by his son dying for us. We make up new definitions of what is right and what is wrong. And we see no gain in doing what he has told us. But friends, we need to remember that the Lord does not change. And we need to take note of his actions. So my final point this morning, God is not dead. Malachi 3 begins with the words, I will send my messenger, which is actually a reference to John the Baptist, who came onto the scene 400 years later. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way for me. And then suddenly, the Lord, which is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are seeking, will come. Remember that these words were spoken 400 years before John the Baptist and Jesus came onto the scene. And yet, these events took place. In fact, the very idea that the prophet spoke these words and they came into fulfillment 400 years later should tell us that God is not dead. But because God is not dead, friends, and because we tend to ignore him, we need to take seriously the warnings he gives us in this passage. Verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Friends, the Bible speaks regularly of God coming into our world. It speaks of Jesus coming twice into our world. The first time to die as a sacrifice for our sin. The second to come to judge those who did not accept his offering. Verse 5, I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppose the widows and the fatherless, and deprive foreigners among you of justice. Friends, that's not a comprehensive list. There are many more things that we do that God will judge us for. But the idea is that when the Lord Jesus returns again, after giving us countless years to turn to him, to follow him, to accept his forgiveness of our sin, we will receive what our actions deserve. When we've redefined what is right and wrong, when we have robbed God of the lives he's claimed for his own, when we have told God to get lost, I don't need God now, I'm not ready for heaven, we will be put on trial. We will receive justice for the way we have treated God. And friends, that is not something you want to look forward to. On the other side of the same coin, when the Lord Jesus does return the second time, Malachi tells us that, verse 17, those who feared the Lord are treated differently. On the day when I act, that is on Jesus' return to this world, they, those who fear the Lord, will be my treasured possession. I will spare them. Verse 18, and you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. In other words, God will take those who uphold his laws, who accept his means of salvation, to be with himself. Friends, the line has been so blurred today between right and wrong that even as Christians we are often confused. But God will one day clearly define right and wrong when he returns to take those who fear him to be with him. Friends, in conclusion, God might seem like he is dead to us, especially in this world of 2020 and COVID-19. But he only seems dead, friends, because we often treat him as such. If we, verse 7, return to him, you see the promise here? If we turn to God, he will return to us. Verse 10 to 12, he will bless us. Perhaps not bless us completely in this world, but definitely in the next. Friends, stop killing God. Stop rewriting what we think is right or wrong. Stop thinking that God is dead. He is very much alive, friends. Not only sustaining the world and holding it together, not only remaining the same as he did when he first began this world, but coming and rescuing us, giving us opportunity and ample opportunity to turn to him. Don't throw him out, friends, and claim that God is dead. Except that he is alive, that he will judge us one day. And so, friends, even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of our difficulties in this world, honor God. Fear the Lord, as our prophet says here. Those who feared the Lord, those who honor, those who respect, those who stand in awe of God will be blessed. Perhaps as you've listened to this talk today, you realize that you are one of those that do dishonor God. You are one of those that have wearied God. Friends, don't let today go past without accepting what Jesus has done for you, without handing your life over to him. Turn to him, friends. Stop trying to rewrite the laws of this world. Listen to what God has said. He knows best. He made us. But friends, if you have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do follow him, then don't weary him. Don't be arrogant and think that you can do some things on your own. Turn to the Lord. Fear the Lord. So that we might be with him. As he says in verse 17, we who fear him will be with him. So continue to serve the Lord. Make a stand for what is right. Make a stand for what is wrong. And honor God. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our time together today. Lord, as much as we realize that you are not dead, we do understand that it's sometimes through our own actions, our own wicked desires, that we push you aside, and it seems like you are dead to us. But Lord, help us to return to you, so that you will return to us. Lord, help us to honor you, help us to fear you with our lives, so that we might be with you, so that you will bless us in the life to come. Lord, forgive us for the times that we weary you. Forgive us for the times where we are arrogant. Forgive us for the times, Lord, where we rob you by not giving you our lives. And help us to serve and honor you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us again today. It was lovely to have you with us. Please drop a comment in the comment section below this video, or get hold of us through our Facebook page or our website. We'd love to hear from you. Just two comments to bring to your attention. The one is, please don't forget your tithes and offerings for the church. We did go into overdraft last month, so we desperately need your donations in this church. So please help us out with that. Also, friends, we are planning to start our Sunday morning services again from October. What's will be the date? The 4th of October. We'll be starting our Sunday morning services again. They will be slightly different from what we've used to, because we're still not allowed to sing and so on. But do stay tuned for further info on this. We will, however, continue to record our services and post them on the website. So if you can't be with us, don't worry. You'll still be able to join with us virtually. So do continue to pray for this as we prepare and plan for the opening of church again. Well, have a great week, friends, and God bless.